I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by the Cabins at Bear River Lodge. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
All right, let's see if I remember how to work all this stuff in here. Push all the right buttons. And look at that.
New studio, too.
Matt, you should be impressed. Russ had his microphone
on,
up,
Matt,
and ready to go. He remembered which button to push and get things going here morning.
Right, I just finished my radio broadcasting merit badge.
Boy. just in time for the scouts to get disbanded. You did good.
Still working on that eagle.
good morning to all. Thanks for waking up with us. Welcome to a brand new day. What a day it is. Both of us decided to bring in the two wheels today instead of the four. And when the temperatures are somewhere around 60 degrees, it's really perfect. Anybody that rides motorcycles will know it's perfect riding weather because you can wear all the leather that you need to protect yourself, but you're comfortable.
So
it's one of our favorite times to ride. Anyway, and we plan on doing some more of that this summer because Russell's been without a motorcycle for three years.
Got one almost a year ago.
Yeah. Nice to have you waking up with us, though. Tim Hughes, Russ Smith is here from Sky Call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That was another training ride this morning for my...
You're going to get the training wheels off sometime soon?
No. For my...
You're actually driving a four. Oh, you're talking about your iron butt, right?
Yeah, well, I don't want to say too much because what if I fail, you know? But, yeah.
No, it's okay.
My upcoming iron butt ride.
By the way, our producer, Matt Jalalian, on the other side of the glass this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. I got to say, I love that's called an iron butt ride.
Yeah. Yeah, you can say that all you want, iron butt. It's spelled B-U-T-T.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever going to get old.
No.
I think it's always going to be great.
And for those who don't know what that is.
It's a 1,000-mile ride in 24 hours.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
It is a big deal. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, you think about where we've ridden. And some long days we've had
long days that were 500 miles.
Yeah, but
that's half of what you're talking about doing.
Okay. True, but I'm doing it in 24 hours. I mean,
right?
Okay,
which means you're going to be riding in the dark.
Means I'm going to have a motel room reserved.
Let me tell you, my brother did this.
Yeah,
as you know.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, he and his buddy, they live in Missoula, Montana.
Right.
So they mapped it all out. I had a ring announcing gig down in Las Vegas.
In the middle of summer.
At Hard Rock.
Yeah.
Down there. Middle of summer.
Middle of summer.
In Las Vegas.
The last place you want to go on an iron butt ride.
So they left Missoula, Montana before the sun came up because they wanted to make sure they got an early start. In the rain with some... And riding at night in the rain is not fun.
No, it's not. Never has been.
And particularly when you're in some place like Montana where they don't have a lot of lighting on the road.
You know how I'm going to spill my gut here. This is how most riders ride in the rain. They hunker down. They got rain blasting. They're going, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
They don't. So they ride from Missoula, Montana. They come all the way down. I'm already in Vegas. They come all the way down to Salt Lake. To get the 1,000 miles, they had to actually divert up Parley's Canyon and down Provo Canyon to add enough miles to get to the 1,000. I get a call from them in St. George late in the evening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's about to get dark, and it's hot. It's already 100.
This is the best part of the story.
It's already 100 degrees.
Yeah.
Brian, my brother's buddy, is a little concerned because his motorcycle is spewing oil out the intake.
Not a problem.
Yeah. So the oil is all over his pants. Yeah. He thinks he's blown his engine head or something. Yeah. He said, my brother said, look, we're going to slow down. We'll still make it, but it'll take us a little bit longer, and we'll make it within our 24 hours. Anyway, they pull in to the parking lot. I'm there with video camera to document the thing. They come in. Brian gets no sleep all night because he's worried about his bike, and anybody that rides a motorcycle knows that feeling.
No kidding.
Because he doesn't know how he's going to get it
back
home.
You're hoping at night it fixes itself.
He calls. He doesn't get much sleep. Yeah. He calls the Harley dealership in Las Vegas the next morning and asks.
Listen to this. This is special right now.
He asks if he can bring his bike in to have them look at it because he thinks he's blown a head gasket or something. And they said, well, tell us what's going on. He said, well, it's spewing oil out the intake. And the guy at the Harley shop in Las Vegas goes, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He says, that's what.
That's okay.
He says, everybody's bike does that down here.
What?
You have to know Harley Davidson engines are air cooled. There is not a radiator pushing fluid through it. So when
they are oil cooled, though.
Yes.
Yes.
It's synthetic oil.
Right.
Has to but be. When the air temperature is 110 to 115 degrees in Vegas and the engine is quote unquote air cooled.
There is no cool air.
It gets hot enough, and this is what happened. It gets hot enough that the synthetic oil boils inside the engine, and it then starts spitting itself out.
So, like, what do you do if you ride a motorcycle and you live there? Like, are you just replacing your oil all the time?
You probably go at 2 in the morning or something.
And you buy a liquid-cooled bike.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
You just don't buy that bike.
Or as we like to call it, a Hardly.
call it what you meant.
I know. Okay. As Russell pulls in on his Beamer. Anyway, it's one of my favorite stories. And we wish you well on your 1,000-mile butt ride. When are you going to do this?
Possibly as early as Sunday night.
Okay.
Possibly. This is one of those things that, let me tell you about the Iron Butt Association.
Right. And by the way, Matt.
There's an Iron Butt Association?
You get a certificate.
.org.
You get a certificate.
Patch, certificate, license plate.
Oh,
frame.
Great.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything better.
This is the beauty of the whole thing.
Yeah.
They used to demand that you submit your route in advance, but they found out that that's dangerous because if a guy's not ready to go for the date he submitted, he has to start all over again. And guys were leaving not really prepared, sleep-wise and other things.
Yeah.
Now they say, download the paperwork, do it as you go, leave anytime you want.
So you have to keep all of your receipts.
Oh, yeah, receipts. You got to have people sign affidavits.
Yeah, people sign things along the way.
To prove that indeed have an iron butt.
You are now an iron butt graduate.
And these guys, you have to pay them to review your route and sign it off. And they know the shortcuts, you know. I mean, they're going to look at my corners and make sure you got to get signatures.
I don't really buy that. That's stringent. I really think there's a little guy with a stamp that goes, send him a patch.
Hey,
I didn't ruin. I don't want to ruin it for you.
Nah, you didn't ruin it for
me.
I'm riding every mile of it.
I know
you
are.
Plus some.
All right, we'll want a full report on the other side. Let's see. Here's what's coming up with the show today. Bob Grove, there was an article on KSL.com about things to do around Lake Powell if you can't get out on a houseboat. Not everybody can afford a houseboat. And it ranges from 3,000 to 10 or more thousand a week, depending on the boat and who you rent it from. And not everybody wants to go through that expense. There are plenty of things to do at Lake Powell if you can't get on a houseboat. But I thought, who better to walk us through that than Bob Grove?
He would know.
He lives down there and works with a lot of the vendors in and around Lake Powell. So we'll look forward to that conversation coming up in the next half hour. We'll hopefully hear from Navadomskis. I got a text from him last night, said, hey, what's going on in the morning with the show? I said, well, we'd love to see your face, but if you can't, you can call. So I guess there's the answer. We'll look forward to talking to him. He just got back from Steamboat, but he's headed to his European tour.
You need a button that does crickets.
Oh. You know. I just needed a cricket sound effect.
That's what I meant.
7:05, we'll talk with Emily Summers from Deer Valley. All right. It's, what's the day today? The 15th of June, and summer is just beginning at the resorts because the snow is melting off of areas where they can finally do some mountain biking. So mountain biking got started yesterday, and we're anxious to talk to her about what's new for the season up there, so we'll do that. Roger Eggert will check in from Bear River Lodge. Then Drew Dittmer, who is with the Division of Wildlife Resources, will join us to talk about those new bag limits for reptiles, which we touched on and had a lot of questions about. What are you laughing
we're
about?
We're both laughing.
Why?
Because weren't you here when we went over that before?
I think so, unless you had a conversation while I was gone.
Was Tim here when we did that?
I honestly can't remember. It's all in a blur.
It's just funny as all. I mean, it's
just a weird thing.
It's like, I don't want to, you know what? Let's go to the break.
Let's go to the break.
No matter what I say,
you can
now,
tell me during the break, and I'll decide if it'll make KSL lose its license here. Ginger Wicks from the Park City Restaurant Association, who was on her way back from Lake Powell when I had this conversation with her, will join us because next week is Savor the Summit. Which, if you've never done that, they close down Main Street. They set up a full Main Street length of tables from all of the restaurants on Main Street, and they serve up food for everybody outdoors, and they have entertainment, and it's a ton of fun. And there's still some reservations available, so we'll talk about Savor the Summit. Anyway, a lot to do, including news of the week, and we'll do that when we come back, so don't go away. All right, welcome back. 6:22, and I didn't look at the temperature this morning. What is it? Do you have a temp in there, Matthew, on one of your many screens?
I can get one up.
Should be lower 60s, I think.
Yeah, 63.
Yeah, somewhere in there, 61, 63.
What'd the motorcycle say?
I wasn't looking on the way in. Anyway, that sunrise is going to be beautiful this morning with clear skies and...
Right now it is 56 degrees.
Oh, 56.
Downtown. Yeah, we can experience a high of 83. Low of 56.
And we go to the Weather Center with Matthew Jalalian. We've got our first call of the day.
No kidding.
We do. How about that? So, well, help me say good morning to James.
Well, good morning,
guys.
Yeah,
it's been a while, James.
Yeah, it's been a while. Anyhow, I don't have any Utah stories. I just heard one kind of interesting, could be boring story here in Texas. Keep in mind, I'm roughly 70 miles west of the Louisiana line. It's not uncommon to see alligators, but but what was unusual, a town west of me, keep in mind further west, away from Louisiana, if I heard the news report, some family had a fountain where they had fish, and their children would come and just kind of fish and stick their hand in there for the goldfish and whatever, and one day they had a baby alligator snap at them and all that. Luckily, the kids weren't hurt, but the main message to parents was make sure you keep an eye on your kids, even with backyard fountains.
You know, that is one way that municipalities could keep people from throwing coins into the fountain and then going after them.
Yeah, that would be one.
That's a good idea, Tim.
I'm sorry I didn't have more of an interesting story.
Just put baby alligators in there. That'll keep people from reaching in and taking the coins.
Yeah, hey. It'll keep them away from doing a lot of things.
How's the wild weather? Are you about done with it?
Well, we had wild weather last week. It was very hot, and today it's calm. And I told Matt I wasn't going to say this, but I'm calling you from a hospital.
Oh, no.
And anyhow, I'm hoping to get out and all that. So I've had a little bit of tremors and things over the years. It's been no secret. Yeah. I've never wanted to say it on air and got dehydrated. And that's one other lesson that's probably good for hikers. I wasn't doing that, but just due to my health and all that.
Well, we love hearing from you, and we wish you well and recovery there. And
hopefully I'll be back home and calling you and boring you in other ways, but that's how come I only have a Texas story for you.
Well, I'm sure you've impressed the night crew there at the hospital because you had to make your appearance on a radio station in Salt Lake.
Well, nobody knows yet, and I was afraid a nurse would come in and say, medicine time, and I thought, how am I going to they'll blow my cover and all that. You've had calls from Mount Everest, now you've had a call from a hospital.
There you go. Yeah,
that is our first hospital call.
We actually, had a call from the hospital at Mount Everest.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was
Everest. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We did.
Well,
from Kathmandu.
We did.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I'm
James.
Glad I'm not the first.
Quick question for you. We just did a trip across Texas in February, I believe it was.
I beg your pardon. There's a blower right beside me.
Oh, we traveled.
Speak up, Russ.
My wife and I traveled across Texas just recently, just a couple of months ago. We took, I think it was Highway 82 or 92 all the way across and ended up in Texarkana. There's a gorgeous new freeway that goes from Texarkana to Shreveport.
Oh, yeah. You probably mean I-49.
Yeah. That is beautiful. Takes you. You don't see any other roads hardly at all or houses. It's all country.
Yeah, it's brand new. It'll take you there in a flash. It used to be it would take you forever to get just from those two towns, and they're fairly close.
Yeah.
It used to take forever.
Beautiful part of the country there.
It really is. And it's a beautiful sunrise. I just wish I could get out and enjoy it.
Yeah, all right. Get better, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Speaking of Utah news that he missed this morning, and I wish I had other news to talk about, but this story out of Capitol Reef National Park where the vandalism took place.
This is a new one.
Reported back on June 6th at the Temple of the Moon in the far northeast section of the park. Some idiot, again, decided that he was going to make his own Indian art and just carve his way into the rocks there. People need to know this is taken very, very seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Park staffers documented the vandalism a couple of days later. It measures about 28 inches in length, 17 inches tall, and is deeply gouged in the rock. National parks are treasured lands and protect our national heritage, the release said. Graffiti is vandalism. It's extremely hard and costly to remove, and it's also illegal. They don't go on to talk about what the ramifications are. But what usually happens in these cases is the ding-dongs will put their initials and document it on a video and then post it on social media.
Let's check Facebook. Maybe we can solve this crime.
I'd like to think that's what happens here. But, with this being prime season to get to our national parks, just why would you do this?
Yeah.
If you don't respect the parks enough to not do something like this, what are you doing there? Because your reason for going is to enjoy the pristine nature of it and take in that bit of history.
You know, I don't know. This is a Beavis and Butthead kind of thing. You want to go down to the park and put our name on something?
Hey, y'all, watch this. Or that old line about hold my beer, and somebody. there's another. I just want to give a shout-out this morning to Scott Root, who's been on the show before and is a friend of ours, friend of the program. He got some national attention. He has posted from time to time, and I try to share it whenever I can, trail cam footage of various beasts in the wild that don't know they're being watched. And one of his trail cam sessions at the top of a mountain with a giant bull elk in the middle of winter, digging through the snow, made its way to a national program, and I think it's just an online program, but what they do on the program is do nothing but show viral videos, and so it's high-def trail camera footage from the Wasatch Mountains, shows this elk wintering in the frosty air, and you can see the clouds moving through in the background. I'm sure this was one of those days when Scott pulled the video and just went, what?
Yeah.
So he posted it out there, and somehow it made its way to get national attention. I have shared it on our Facebook page. Can't get past all the advertising to get to it at the moment.
Trail cams are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's how they discovered they had wolverines in California.
Really?
Trail cam. Trail cam and donuts.
they were chumming for wolverines.
Throw
with donuts.
Some donuts down. Put a trail cam in the tree.
Let's see who eats them.
Every animal likes donuts,
even
right,
humans,
right down to the ants.
Yeah.
You know?
Huh. All right. The other thing, and Simone talked about it at the top of the hour, has been making most of the headlines for the past couple of days. Just want to throw it out there about the crazy, wild rushing rivers that we have now, and the danger of being there, particularly for pets and for kids. They seem to have the same level of curiosity about this. And literally, you make a turn and look somewhere
Step your
else.
Fingers
and,
are gone.
And it's too late. So just be careful. Northern Utah reported, the Bureau of Reclamation reported that Green River flows from Flaming Gorge beginning a couple of weeks ago, actually. We're going to really be opened up because they're trying to make room for the water that's coming in now.
We've got rivers now that usually don't have as much water that are floatable. I think the Yampa, if I'm not mistaken, I've got people told me the Yampa they had to cancel on because there's too much water.
Too much water.
And that's water. That's a river that goes pretty much dry.
You'll hear this in my conversation with Ginger Wicks as we wrap up the show this morning. She was on her way back from Lake Powell. While she was there this past week, the lake was coming up 6 inches a day.
Oh, wow.
And you have to realize, I don't know the exact number, but there's something like 110 or 140 miles of shoreline.
Yeah. So that's a lot of water.
And it's all coming up 6 inches a day right now. So
that's movement you can see.
You have to re-anchor, re-moor your houseboat every day pretty much.
All in all, good news. We have to break.
I know we do. There's an organization called saferivers.org. I'll get the information on it and what they're doing along the Provo River.
Okay, cool. All right. Simone's got a news update for you next. And then Bob Grove joins us. We'll talk about Lake Powell next.